got a question. Let's do the question first, and then we'll take the prayer request. Does anybody know of anybody that's got a used dryer or something like that that's not, that they're not needing or anything else? There's a lady on my food route who needs a dryer, and the one she bought from conked out on, and she contacted the people who sold it, and they said they can't do nothing for her, and so she does not have ability to dry her clothes. And so if anybody hears of a used dryer inexpensively, or they're going to want to get rid of it, just let me know if you wouldn't mind. I really want to help her out. And so that's just a public service announcement. So if anybody knows of one. Yes, ma'am. They might help out. I can go by and see them also and just take a look and see. So if anybody hears of one, or let me know if you wouldn't mind. So, all right. And she's been drying, she's been laying her clothes out to dry them. She's only her, and so she doesn't have a lot, but still, you know how inconvenient it is not have a dryer. So, if you can, just let me know. All right, number two, Troy and Inez. Miss Inez is very, very sick. We went to her house this afternoon. They came and got her by the ambulance, took her to Silva. And I don't know if she's septic or not, but just got a text from her daughter, and they're sending her home. So I don't know what the whole status is, but Miss Inez is just she's not doing good. And, of course, Troy cannot get around very good whatsoever. And so it's just a very frustrating thing for everybody involved. So please pray for Troy and Inez. I know they would greatly appreciate that very much. So, all right. Miss Ann, do you have a report on Miss Vita? Right.
And after that, we're not sure.
Okay.
She won't go home by herself, for sure, because anybody knows of anybody that would like a job where they could have free room and board and pay, she was somebody who would find herself.
Because she's not going to be able to live by herself again. She's going to need someone to be with her. Yep. So, okay. So if you know of anybody looking for a job that's quality, that's trustworthy, let us know, and we'll see what we can do. So, okay.
Do a background check.
Yeah, do a background check or anything else for sure, yes. Thank you, Miss Ann. Appreciate that. Okay. All right, does anybody else know of any prayer requests, urgent ones that we can lift up? Anybody else? Any situations? Nancy, what's going on with Miss Nancy? Okay. All right, so please pray for Miss Nancy. I did not know that. Thank you for telling me. Okay. All right. Well, let's open up on a word of prayer. Brother Dale, would you please open up our session with some prayer? I'd appreciate that.
Lord, we come to you today to open up our Bibles to the end of the times and to the tribulation period and to the things that's coming to us or to the those that are not saved in the end of the time. We ask you to be with this servant, be with this teacher.
Amen. Amen. Before we get started, I want to give you some encouragement, all right? Don't stop praying, because when you look like it is useless and hopeless, and then there's no way God is going to move, that's when God shows up and does what needs to be done. Do not give up. And the reason I share that is this morning, your grandson, stands up and gives a testimony of what God is doing in his heart. And I know there's been times that you've wanted to wring his neck. But praise God for what God is doing in his life. And I was praising God this morning, him standing up and just testifying about what's going on in his life. So I praise the Lord for that. So do not give up. Do not give up. So, amen. Amen. What a blessing that was this morning. Okay? All right. Questions concerning the tribulation part one. We'll go back to page number one of your study, and then we will go through here and answer these questions in case you have missed some or in case you're brand new to the study. All right. Question number one, when does the tribulation begin? The tribulation begins when the Antichrist and Israel sign a covenant with each other. Okay? Well, we're going to discuss all that stuff taking place. The next lesson number four, we'll be talking about in depth about the signing of the treaty between the Antichrist and Israel. Of course, we know that Antichrist does not identify himself as the Antichrist. He doesn't come and appear in the scene and say, "Hey, folks, I'm the Antichrist." All right, but we're going to see some the attributes of the Antichrist and how he'll compare to the people. All right, question number two. What does Scripture reveal about the coming Antichrist? Okay, letter A, he is known by many names and titles. All right, number one, his first name or title is Little Horn, and we looked at that last week. Second one is the King. Third one, Man of Sin. Fourth one, Son of Perdition. Fifth one, the Rider on the White Horse. In Revelation 6:2, it talks about a rider on the white horse that is not Jesus Christ. Okay, a lot of people say, well, that is Jesus. That is not Jesus. Okay, so the rider on the white horse is not Jesus Christ. Number six, he is known as the Beast. Number seven, he is also known as the Antichrist. Okay, now when you start looking for the Antichrist, you start looking for who this person can be, here's some things that we're going to know about them. Okay, here's some descriptions. He's going to be intellectual. He's going to be he's going to be able to speak very well. All right? He's going to be very well and very charismatic. He's going to be very political. He's going to be a commercial. He's going to be very marketable. He's going to be a whiz at marketing. He'll know how to use the internet. He'll know how to blast out there on TikTok and Facebook and all these on X and all. He'll know how to do all those things. All right? He'll be a military leader. He's very smart with the military. And he'll also be religious. All right? The most dangerous one is the religious one. Why do you think that the religious one is the most dangerous one? It'll be a false religion. Exactly right. He'll be able to present himself as one way, and everybody will go, "Oh, this has got to be the one we've been looking for," and come to find out, it's one they're looking for. It's not the one that they want. All right? So he's going to be very religious. Okay? He'll be a genius also. Yes, he will be under an intellectual letter B. Or before that, he'll be a genius on letter B. He'll be a genius. Okay? Thank you, Ms. Linda. All right? Letter C. He will come to power through Satan. Satan will give him the power to do what he does. Okay? Satan will give him the power to do what he does. All right, question number three. Is the Antichrist a Jew or a Gentile? So what do you think? Is the Antichrist going to be Jewish or is he going to be a Gentile? He's going to be a Gentile. He's going to be a Gentile. And we talked about that last week, okay? Because number one, the Antichrist's main activities, he's going to invade Israel. He's going to desecrate the rebuilt Jewish temple. And the Jewish temple will be rebuilt. All right? Right now, where is the Jewish temple? Anybody know where the Jewish temple is right now? It's under the mosque. All right? It's not above ground. So we know, that's how we know that the Antichrist has not appeared yet. That's how we know that the tribulation period has not started yet. The Jewish temple will be rebuilt. All right? And so he's going to offer the sacrifice. He's going to make it okay for the Jewish people to do their sacrifices again in the temple. Okay? But he will desecrate it. After 3.5 years, he'll desecrate the Jewish temple. And number three, he will persecute the Jewish people. Gentiles have always led in the persecution of the Jews. Okay? So we know, or we believe, that he's going to be a Gentile and not a Jew. Number four, question. From what nation will the Antichrist arise? All right, Daniel 9:26 tells us that the Antichrist will be the same nationality as the people who destroyed the Jewish temple. And that's an event that's still in the future when Daniel wrote. We understand from hindsight that in AD 70, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. The Romans destroyed the temple in AD 70. Therefore, it appears that the Antichrist will be of Roman origin. Okay, so he'll be from Western Europe, Italy, Great Britain, even maybe perhaps Germany. We don't know for sure, but it'll be from Western Europe most likely. All right, because that's the Roman Empire that was reestablishing. A lot of people thought the Antichrist was coming around when they came up with the European Union. And the 10 cities, the 10 states had come together. They thought, oh, the Antichrist has come. But we've seen those break up of the EU, of the European Union is broken up. So that just tells us the Antichrist didn't come back then. All right? So we talked about this a little bit last week. Who have you heard down through the ages was the Antichrist? Who have you heard identified? The Pope. Okay, who else? Hitler. All right, who else? Stalin, who? Churchill. Winston Churchill, as we talked about last week. Poor old Winston Churchill. Now he was not good looking and charismatic whatsoever. All right, so we knew it wasn't him. But Margaret Thatcher, yes. Gorbachev. Okay, who else have we heard?
Juan Carlos of Spain.
Okay, yes, Juan Carlos of Spain. Okay, all right, Fisher. German that worked for us. Oh, Henry Kissinger?
Yes.
Okay, but he was Jewish. But yes, but so some people thought that he was, yes. All right, Obama, some people thought Obama was, some people, yep. So all kinds of JFK, some people thought John F. Kennedy was the Antichrist, all right? So a whole bunch of names have been thrown out there. What's the problem with throwing out names? We don't know. Exactly right. You can try to put the pieces together and say, I believe it's this person, I believe it's that person. Some people believe that it's the Ukrainian president, Zelensky. Some people believe that it's going to be him. And so, well, we don't know if he's married. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't say if he's unmarried or not. It doesn't say that about the Antichrist. Because it doesn't say married or it doesn't say. So, but it could be Zelensky. I don't know. I've got a very good friend of mine who believes that it's Zelensky. So I don't know. I don't know. Okay?
In every age, there's somebody that could have potentially
been. Exactly right. So the potential is there, and we see all the things taking place that could be, but guess what? Don't start naming names and don't start putting time periods because you'll just look like a fool. Just look like a fool, okay? Don't do that, okay? All right, so it's whoever it is not important, but it'll be very obvious who it is, all right? Question number five. Is there a false Trinity mentioned in Revelation? The false Trinity. The answer is yes. So open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Let's look at the false Trinity, all right? What is the Trinity to begin with? What is the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we know that there's going to be a false Trinity. We know that there's going to be a presentation of falseness or fakeness. All right, so Revelation chapter number 13 is where we're going to find this. Revelation chapter number 13. verse number 1. We'll start there. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1. And I, now who is I? John the revelator. John the disciple, the last one that's alive. All the others have died by now. And I, John, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, if you are familiar with the book of Daniel, he is talking about what Daniel saw, the same kind of things. Daniel saw these events taking place. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So we know that this is not a godly character. We know that this is not a character that's got from God. This is from Satan himself, because the name of blasphemy. What is blasphemy? What is blasphemy? Speaking against God. What'd you say, Justin? Lies against God. Portraying, saying something that's good about that is of God, but it's really not of God. So we know that this is not a godly figure whatsoever. It's an ungodly figure. Verse number 2. And the beast, John says, that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Okay, so Satan, who is identified as Satan here in verse number 2? The dragon. The dragon. Satan is identified as the dragon here. All right? Now, how do we know that the dragon is Satan in this verse? How do we know that? How do we know that the Satan is the dragon in verse number 2? He's the one that gave the Antichrist the power. Okay? Satan is the one that gives the power to the Antichrist. It's not the other way around. All right? So the dragon is identified as Satan. And then it says, Antichrist is called the beast. Antichrist is called the beast. And the false prophet, we'll get to him in just a second. Okay? So, verse number 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, who is they? Who is the they there in verse number 4? Who is they? The world that's alive during this time period, they worship the dragon and they worship the beast, okay? So that's who the they is, okay? Is not of God, but they're worshiping anyway. Now, how in the world would people start worshiping someone as wicked and nasty as the beast? Why would somebody worship him? Because he wasn't at first. He fooled them. He comes on the scene, intellectual, kind, friendly, religious, everybody falls in love with him, but then pretty soon he turns. Okay? Remember this, you can write this down in your notes. Everybody's true colors are eventually revealed. Everybody's true colors are eventually revealed. All right? Somebody cannot hide for very long. The beast does it for 3.5 years, but eventually it comes out to who he really is. All right? Everybody's true colors are eventually revealed. All right? Verse number 5. And there was given unto him, the beast, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. What kind of great things is he speaking, do you think?
Promising peace.
All right? What else is he speaking? You're right. What else is he speaking? What else do you think the Antichrist is speaking? He's promising peace, but what other great things is he speaking? Okay, about great economy. Okay, what else did you say, Justin? I thought you said something. What else is he talking about? All the great things he has done. Look what I've done. I've stopped war here, and I've stopped war there, and I've provided this, and I've... It sounds familiar. Billy?
The Holy Spirit, no,
the Holy Spirit is not here at this time. You're exactly right. Because the Holy Spirit will not be guiding people's lives. Exactly right. That's why this is called an unholy. That's when it talks about that. It's referring to him dying eventually, yes. But that's what it's referring to when it says one of the heads dies and goes back to life. You hear them say, oh, wow, he's got to be. Yes, exactly. Justin, you had your hand up?
Well, I was just going to talk about the second race.
Yes.
You know, I've always been in business. The Antichrist is the second race. So the first race, I always kind of looked at it like, you know, kind of like going back to the front.
Right, uh-huh. Well, we'll get there in just a second. That's a very good question. We'll get to him. We're working our way. Good question. That's a very good question. Okay? We're working to him. All right, verse number 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. All right? So he's not only blasting now everybody, he's now destroying God's people, and then he's speaking horrible about God himself. And he's talking bad about us because it says, and that dwell in heaven. We'll be dwelling in heaven at this time. Okay? Number 7. And it was, or verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, the saints. What saints is that talking about? The saints are in heaven. What saints is now he making war with? Those who are saved during the tribulation period. People will be saved. There will be people who trust Jesus Christ, put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Remember 144,000, we've talked about them just a little bit. They'll be the ones going out witnessing. So people will be saved. So the Antichrist begins to make war with them. All right? Why would the Antichrist make war with the saints? Because why? He's against them. He's the Antichrist, okay? All right? That seems pretty obvious, all right? We're working our way down, all right? And was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He's going to rule the entire planet. And they, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He's saying, pay attention. These are things that are going to take place. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Here's the second beast, Justin. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. All right, so the second beast is going to cause everybody on the earth, he's going to point everybody to that beast. When that beast comes back to life that's killed and rises again, he's going to point everybody to that beast. Okay, we're going to identify him here. Verse number 13, and he, that second beast, the one that points everybody to the first beast, he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Okay? So you got Satan, you've got the beast, and then you've got the second beast, the false prophet. That second beast is the false prophet. He's the one that comes and takes over and starts pointing people to the first beast. Look what he did. He has got to be the Christ. He has got to be the one that's anointed. He's got to be the one that's come to solve all your problems. All right? He's the religious leader. All right? Because you notice his power. He's able to make fire come down from heaven. He's able to do all these things. All right? Now, this is kind of sort of what we read about when Moses was battling the Egyptians. Remember when Moses and Aaron would go in to see the Pharaoh? And they would say, we're gonna make the staff turn into a snake. What always happened most of the time when he did those things? What happened? You remember? The magicians could do the same thing. They would come in and they would present, do the same exact thing. So everybody discounted what Moses and Aaron did. They were false prophets. They were false religious leaders. But pretty soon they couldn't duplicate what the true Moses and Aaron were doing. All right? That's what the false prophet will be doing. He'll be making something completely false, trying to make it look true. Okay? That's why, folks, I need you to understand this. And that's why I try to emphasize this every time I speak. Just because somebody gets up and says something, just because somebody gets up and performs this or performs that, always check it with Scripture. Always. Always do it. Okay? When I speak, always check what I speak from Scripture. If I'm wrong, the Bible's right. The Bible always outweighs anything that I say. The Bible always outweighs anything that a human being says. Always check with Scripture. I don't care how good looking somebody is. I don't care how many teeth somebody has. I don't care what kind of suit they wear. I don't care what kind of plane they fly. All right? Always check with Scripture. Always do it. Why don't people do that more often? They don't study. What'd you say, Billy? They're comfortably numb. Exactly right. Feed me, feed me, feed me. I don't care what you say, just make me happy. All right? Tickle my ears. Tickle my ears. Make me feel good. As long as you make me feel good, hey, I'll love you and I'll give you all the money I got. All right? The false prophet's going to do exactly the same thing. So we see in your answer sheet here, we see Satan is the dragon, Antichrist is called the beast, and the false prophet represents the hellish substitute for God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He'll represent the Holy Spirit. The one who points people to Jesus Christ. All right? Or to the Antichrist. What is the Holy Spirit's job now in our lives? What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? He teaches, convicts us. What else does he do? He points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit never points us to him. Never. He always points us to Jesus Christ. Why is that so important that Jesus Christ is lifted up and not the Holy Spirit lifted up? Why is that so important? Name above all names, okay? All will bow before him. You're right, but why is that so important? Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. The Holy Spirit was not the sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. The Holy Spirit came after Jesus left, another comforter to point us back to Jesus Christ. Any spirit that points you to a human being, any spirit that points yourself to him, you know has got to be false. But a Holy Spirit will always point you to Jesus Christ. Always. Always. So that's how you can know the truth. Okay? So the Antichrist, and then you've got the second beast, which represents the Holy Spirit, pointing everybody to the false Christ, the beast. All right? Question number 6. Does the Bible use other names or titles in reference to the tribulation? Okay? We read this last week in Matthew chapter 24. All right? So yes, there are 12 titles for this time period. Here's some of the most notable ones, okay? So there's other names for this time period, and we're going to look at those, okay? So look at this first one, letter A, the day of the Lord. It's referred to as the day of the Lord. Now, why do you suppose it's referred to as the day of the Lord? Why do you suppose? Okay, it's his reckoning. So let's look at a couple scriptures there. It talks about the day of the Lord. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. Let's see the reference where it's talking about the day of the Lord. And let's kind of see. Now, Isaiah is one of the major prophets. That doesn't mean he's a more important prophet. That just means he was a larger book. Okay, that's all. His writing was a little bit was more full or bigger than the minor prophets. All right, Isaiah was a prophet speaking against Israel, warning them about what God was going to do. Okay, so let's look at this reference here, Isaiah chapter 12. Or chapter 2, I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 5. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 5, we'll start there. Now he's speaking to Israel here. He says, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So evidently the people were not walking in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, and neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is full of horses, and neither is there end of their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man bows down, and the great man humbles himself. Therefore, forgive them not. So these people are going to come in and destroy Israel. All right? They're not going to be a good crowd of people. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. So in other words, God's going to come and do something. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall exalt it in that day. There's going to come a time where the proud will be destroyed. There's going to come a time that God's going to come and he's going to decimate the proud. Verse number 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he, the lofty, shall be brought down low. All right? Now, you say, well, what has that got to do with Revelation? What's that got to do with the tribulation period? Who, during a tribulation period, is lofty and haughty and speaking highly of themselves? The Antichrist is. Okay? So God is going to come and he's going to judge the Antichrist during the tribulation. Everything that takes place during the tribulation is a battle. Everything that takes place during the tribulation is against the Antichrist and against Israel, trying to get them to get in line. The day of the Lord. So we know that the day of the Lord is referring to the tribulation period. All right? Now you say, well, how do we know that the day of the Lord is talking about that? Let me ask you, has God dealt with humankind like that yet? Has God destroyed the haughty and the proud completely off the earth? Has God done that yet? No. How do we know he's not done that yet? They're still here. Exactly right. The lofty and high-minded are still here. So we know that event is not taken. When God begins to destroy the haughty and the lofty, guess what? He's going to continue to do it completely. Okay, he's going to continue to do it. So the day of the Lord is referring to the tribulation period. All right, so now go back to your answer sheets. The day of the Lord, and it says several references to it. All right, letter B, it's also known as the 70th week in Daniel chapter number 9. The tribulation period is called the 70th week. All right, letter C. It's also known as the great day of his wrath. The great day of God's wrath. Now, why is it God's wrath in the tribulation period Who is God's wrath against? Who is God's wrath against in the tribulation period? The unbelievers. Okay? Unbelievers. The Antichrist. The unbelievers. All right? Why will the church not be in the day of wrath? Why will the church not be there? Because Jesus took our wrath. Jesus took God's wrath for us. You've got to understand that. You've got to stop thinking that God has got wrath against you. God has no wrath against you believers. If you know Jesus Christ your Savior, God will never have wrath on you. Never. But what about if I mess up, Brother Brian? What about when I cuss? It's covered. What about when I get involved in this? It's covered. What about... It's God's wrath will never be on us. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so the day of wrath has got nothing to do with the church. Got nothing to do with believers. We'll be corrected, but we won't have God's wrath. I don't want to face... Anybody want to face God's wrath? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So it's called the day of wrath, the tribulation period, okay? All right, letter D. Question number seven. All right. Who are the individuals and groups that are appearing in the tribulation? This is going to be good here. Who are the individuals and groups that appear? All right. Letter A, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Some of the groups that will appear. We're going to talk about the major groups that appear during the tribulation period. John chapter number 3. John chapter 3, verse number 5. We'll start there. Jesus answered, he's speaking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So who do you think is being referred to there? Who's being referred to? Nope. Who's being referred to? We have nothing to do with the tribulation. Remember, we're gone. This is the main players during the tribulation period. Who do you think it's referring to there? Nope. What's the main words there? Look at the name. What's the main name in those verses right there? All right. Let me give you another clue. Go to verse number 16. Go to verse 16. Or I'm sorry, not verse 16. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, not verse 16. Chapter 16. Chapter 16. Okay. Chapter 16, verse number 8. Or verse number 7. "Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth," Jesus said. "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, and of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." All right? So who is that referring to? The Holy Spirit, okay? If you look back at John chapter 3, he's talking about the Spirit drawing. Here he's saying the Spirit is comforting, okay? The Holy Spirit plays a major part of the tribulation period. Now, how can I say the Holy Spirit plays a major part of the tribulation period? How can we say that? What does the Holy Spirit do during a tribulation period? Where is the Holy Spirit during a tribulation period? What do you think? What do you think? Come on, Bible scholars, help me out. People are going to get saved during the tribulation period. And how does somebody get saved? The Holy Spirit does what? Draws them to God. So the Holy Spirit will be working during the tribulation period. The Holy Spirit will be drawing people. The Holy Spirit will be convicting people. The Holy Spirit will be doing that. All right? So we know the Holy Spirit will be at work, but the Holy Spirit will not be doing what he does now. Okay? Daniel? Yes.
That the Holy Spirit, that's how we know that we're not going to be here.
Correct.
Because as long as we are here, the believers, then the Holy Spirit is here.
Still here, still thriving.
So once the rapture takes place,
and the believers leave, yes, the Holy Spirit goes with us. Seven years, yeah, right.
So then, after all that, then the Holy Spirit will come back.
Well, that's when Jesus Christ will come back to the earth with us and rule and reign for a millennium. Yes, exactly right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, he'll be working through those 144,000 young Jewish males. And they'll be out evangelizing and telling people of the Messiah, of the true Messiah. And the Holy Spirit will be drawing people to God through them. Now, right now, the Holy Spirit convicts the world even right now. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit convicts his people. The Holy Spirit brings comfort and peace. But during the tribulation period, he will draw people to God, but he will not be convicting the world. Because the Bible tells us during the tribulation period, even all these things that are taking place, all these comets and all the blood and all the people will still not turn to God. All right? They still won't do it. All right, Brother Jack?
During the tribulation,
all the things that are saved, they face spiritual consequences. Exactly right, yeah. And he'll give the power to the believers not to take the mark of the beast. So the Holy Spirit will be a prevalent fixture. It'll be kind of like what happened in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come on somebody in the Old Testament, and then he would leave. And he would come on and he would leave back and forth like in the Old Testament. All right? But not right now. I praise God that the Holy Spirit is present with us everywhere we go, all the time. Amen. All right? So the Holy Spirit, he plays a gigantic role. All right? Letter B. Go to Revelation 12:12. Who's another major figure in the tribulation period? Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. So who do you think the next major player is? Satan himself, the devil. Satan. He's an individual that appears in the tribulation, a great character. Okay? Satan, or the devil. All right? Go to chapter 11. Now, these are not in any other particular order. It's just a group of the people who play a major part in the tribulation period. All right? Revelation chapter 11, verse number 1. And they were given me, John said, a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Okay? So the temple of God is being reestablished, and John goes to measure it. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Verse number 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So who do you suppose is another character that we see here? The two witnesses. The two witnesses we see here. All right? Number one, some think that it's Enoch and Elijah. Some people believe that those two witnesses is Enoch and Elijah. Okay? It could be, all right, because they didn't experience physical death. They'll return to die a martyr's death in Revelation 11. All right? Very well could be. All right? Number two, others believe that it's Moses and Elijah because they appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, which pictured the second coming of Christ. So it could be Moses and Elijah. All right? Enoch and Elijah or Moses and Elijah? All right? Let me ask you a question. How many of you are willing to fist fight over it? Okay, all right. There's no reason to fist fight and get upset about it. We know there's going to be two witnesses, and we know of what they're going to do, but it does not really matter who the two witnesses are. It could be Elijah, it could be Enoch, it could be Moses, it could be any one of those three. But we know there's two of them, and we know they exist. Okay? The second coming of Christ, yes. But pictured the second coming of Christ. Pictured, yeah. They appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, which pictured the second coming of Christ. Okay? Letter D. Letter D. The next character or group of people, 144,000 Israelite preachers or witnesses, you can call them. 144,000 Israelite preachers or witnesses, they'll appear. Okay? There will be 144,000 of them. All right? They're going to be male witnesses. They're going to be virgin male witnesses. Okay? And I'm not knocking other people, but they're not going to be Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? All right? If you run into somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness, ask them, are you Jewish? Are you a virgin? Are you male? And of course, they're going to say no. And you say, is this the tribulation period? No. So you cannot be one of the 144,000. Amen? Okay? And he'll say, where do you see that? Just simply take them to Revelation chapter 7, verse number 4. Take them there and show them what the Bible says, okay? I'm not knocking people. I'm not blasting people. I'm just saying, look at what the Bible says, okay? Look what the Bible says. All right, letter E, all right? And we'll talk more about this later on. A cruel ruler from the north. A cruel ruler from the north. We'll talk about that in part 3 of the tribulation when we get that to that point. We'll come back to him. All right? If the tribulation period is right around the corner, who do you think the cruel ruler from the north could be? Putin. If the tribulation period is right around the corner, which I believe it is, this could very well be Vladimir Putin coming from the north. And we talk about that in Ezekiel, okay? But we'll talk about this more, okay, at a later time. All right? Now, this next one, please don't get upset with me, some of you in this room. Okay? There's four symbolic women that we're talking about in this. Four symbolic women. Okay? Number one, the persecuted woman is Israel. The persecuted woman is Israel. Now, this is symbolic, okay? Symbolic. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Symbolic. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. It says, "Then there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." Who is that great dragon? Who is the great dragon? Satan. Okay? So we see a woman who's pregnant, getting ready to give birth. We see the great dragon appear. Okay? Remember, Satan hates the things of God. Verse number 4. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born." Okay? Who do you suppose this child was that was going to be devoured? Jesus Christ. So the dragon is waiting to devour the child. Verse number 5. "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." So who's that child? Jesus Christ. "And the woman fled from the wilderness into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days." All right, that's talking about Satan attacking Israel during that time period. Okay? So we see that the woman is representing Israel here. And then the dragon is representing Satan. And then the baby is Jesus Christ. All right? Number 2. "A vile prostitute is equal to the false church." The false church. A vile prostitute. All right? Let's look at some of the things that this vile prostitute does. Chapter 17, verse number 1. A vile prostitute, or the false church. Revelation chapter 17. "And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me. And here's what that angel said unto John. Come hither, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." What's another name for a prostitute? A whore. Okay? "And with the king, and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication." They have sopped up everything that this whore has taught them. They have joined in with this whore, this prostitute. "So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemies, having 7 heads and 10 horns." You'll always notice that whenever the Bible refers to a prostitute, a whore, it's always with colored tapestry. Always with that kind of surrounding. You see in the book of Proverbs, where the woman who is out and about trying to get everybody to come in, she's always got scarlet and always got colors of tapestries in her house. Okay? You'll notice that. First, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now, he's not admiring. He's just saying that I had a great wonderment of seeing what I saw. I just could not believe what I was seeing. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns." So she is the great whore, the false church. The false church. They will delude so many people. So many people. What is the key to not falling for the false church? What is the key to not falling for the false church? The Bible. Okay? All right, so right now we have the Bible. And we can compare what the Bible is saying to what is being taught. All right? But during the during the tribulation period, what's going to keep people from falling for the false church? What's going to keep people from getting involved in these fornications and these wickedness? What's going to keep it from happening? The Holy Spirit. All right? And when will the Holy Spirit come upon them? When will the Holy Spirit give them that strength? When they saved, exactly right. When they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit will give them the power to not fall. All right? But the problem is, the whore, the false church, will destroy those martyrs. They will be killed in the name of religion. You either worship the beast or you worship the false church. No, you worship the beast or you worship God. And the church will be instrumental in killing the martyrs, in killing those who get saved during the tribulation period. They'll turn them in, is what they'll do. All right? You better tell who's a martyr. You better tell who's not following the beast, because they won't go to that false church. And anybody who doesn't go to that false church will be identified as one of the believers and be killed. All right? The believers will not be around on earth very long. They'll be identified. They won't take the mark of the beast and they'll be killed. Most of the believers will be beheaded. Like that. They won't. Why do you think the Antichrist will destroy and get rid of all the believers quickly? They don't want to spread the word. How many of you are glad that doesn't take place right now? I'm glad the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the power. Okay? But the Holy Spirit will be gone by then. Okay? So Babylon. All right? Number three. An arrogant queen. An arrogant queen will equal the world's political and economic systems. Should be referred to as the arrogant queen. Okay? Political and economic systems. Okay, so that's another major character. Symbolized by a woman. Number four. A pure bride will equal saved believers, the bride of Christ. You're never going to see the bride of Christ referred to in the tribulation period. Why do you think the bride of Christ will not be referred to in the 7 years of tribulation? Because we'll be in heaven. You are part of the bride of Christ. You are part of the... Jesus Christ is your bridegroom. And we'll be up in heaven during this whole time period. But guess what? We come back. Because look at the very next character you see. A mighty warrior from heaven. And who is that mighty warrior from heaven? Jesus Christ. But you'll notice as you read chapter 19 that he does all the fighting. We don't do the fighting. Anybody is scared of horses? Anybody in here don't like horses? All right, Shay, she's not a horse. All right, Billy, you're not a horse person whatsoever. Anybody else not like horses? All right, guess what? You'll be riding one. All right, you'll be riding one of them babies. There you go. Now, yours may be a Shetland pony, maybe, Shay. I'm not sure. But we'll be riding the horses. We'll be riding the horses coming down with Jesus Christ. What a sight that will be. What a sight. Now, some people say, we're blood bride. Are you really telling me that we're literally going to ride horses and leave heaven and come down to the earth? How many of you believe that's really going to happen? If the Bible says it, I believe it. Okay, yeah, exactly. Got to restock the tables and everything else, yeah. So we'll be riding them horses. Amen. Yeah, exactly. Won't be afraid. What'd you say, Jack? Exactly. There will be. There will be. That's why some people believe that there'll be cats and dogs and all those kind of, no snakes. I don't believe there'll be snakes up in heaven, but cats and dogs and all that kind of stuff. So, what's going to be the name of your horse? What are you going to name your horse?
Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, all right? Silver. Hi-oh, Silver. The white Mustang. There we go. Exactly right. Amen. Amen. All right, let's close. Heavenly Father, thank you. The events that we read about.